Welcome to the Stats Modeling the World Instructors Podcasts. 10 points in under 10 minutes. We hope you find them helpful. Hi, Paul Velleman again to talk about Chapter 8. In Chapter 8, we introduce the least squares linear regression model. There's a lot to say about this, and we're laying foundations for a lot more we're going to say later on. We're going to treat the linear model again in Chapter 9 and again later in the book. Our focus here is on understanding the model and what it tells us, but that still covers a lot of ground. 1. Emphasize the linear model and get students to think about it. We're using a line to model the relationship we see in a scatter plot. For example, you could open the discussion by asking what might constitute a good line to a scatter plot. Talk in general about the model. What would make a good line to describe a scatter plot when the points obviously don't all fit on a line? Here are some points that should come up. First, at the mean of the x variable, we should expect the line to be at the mean of the y variable. In other words, the line should go through the mean-mean point. That should make sense to everybody. That has the line going through the middle of the data. Second, the model line may not pass through any of the points, but it should be close to a lot of them. Small differences between the line and the points are of less concern to us than huge gaps. This is a good time to define a residual. 3. Discuss the goal of finding the best line. Point out that we want to somehow minimize the size of the residuals. And now we can introduce the least squares criterion. Second point. We can find a line from a point and a slope. And we have both. The point on the line is the mean-mean point, and we find the slope from the correlation between the variables and the standard deviations of both variables. Armed with the slope, we can use the known point to produce the equation. That's just high school algebra. 3. Emphasize checking the linearity assumption. Linear regression assumes that the form of the association between the two variables is linear. As is always the case with assumptions, we can't be sure this is true, but we can check to see that it's plausible. We eyeball the scatter plot, or even better, the residuals plot, to see if there's any sign of curvature. The book introduces the straight enough condition, which affirms the assumption and allows us to proceed. It's worth noting that we make this check of the residuals after the fact. First we do the regression, then we look at the residuals to decide whether we should use the model. 4. Always insist on meaningful variable names. Students aren't done until they've written a sentence about the model. And in writing the equations for their models, it's much clearer if they use variable names that say what they mean. 5. Spend time on the interpretation of slope, intercept, and r-squared. Always in context. Insisting on real variable names will help students be clear that we're now working with the data in their natural units. The regression slope is in y units per x unit, and the intercept is in y units. Encourage students to write the phrase y units per x unit and then fill in the name of the y units and the name of the x units. The resulting phrase usually describes well what the regression is about. You'll see phrases like dollars per year of employment or grams of protein per ounce. Often the best interpretation of the intercept is just as a starting value. Caution students that if x equals 0 makes no sense, a baby with zero weight, the economy in the year 0, then the interpretation of the intercept as a predicted value for x equals 0 doesn't make sense either. R-squared is the fraction of variation in y accounted for by the regression model. Emphasize this is the variation that's accounted for. R-squared isn't, for example, the fraction of the points that are fit exactly by the line, because that might well be 0. 6. The line only models the relationship. It isn't the truth. Be sure that the interpretations students make show that they understand the distinction between models and reality. An interpretation such as weight increases 6 pounds for every inch of height isn't correct. We always need some weasel words. The model suggests that weight increases about 6 pounds on average for every additional inch of height. The same is true with estimates made of the model. Students should say something like, "The model predicts this person may weigh about 145 pounds, not, "The person weighs 145 pounds. 7. Help students discriminate between the appropriateness of the model and the strength of the model. These are very different issues. If the underlying relationship is linear, then the model is appropriate. Look at a scatter plot of the residuals for signs of a pattern such as curvature. If the model's appropriate, then the R-squared measures its strength by reporting how much of the variability the model accounts for. These two issues aren't the same. An appropriate linear model can have a low R-squared if the relationship is linear but weak. And, for a different relationship, the wrong model can still have a high R-squared, for example by describing a relationship that grows rapidly, but after removing a trend line shows a distinct curve. Another way to see how well the model fits the data is to look at S sub B, the standard deviation of the residuals. That reports the overall size of the errors made by the linear model in the same units as Y. 8. Show students that the slope of the regression line for Z-scores is a correlation. Consider, for example, a mythical college where the correlation between SAT scores of freshmen and the GPAs they earn is 0.5. What should that college predict about the freshman GPA of an applicant who has an SAT score at the average for freshmen of the college, or someone who has an above-average GPA? Well, it's common sense that students with an average SAT should be expected to achieve average GPAs. Remember, the line goes through the mean-mean point. When there's a positive association, we'd predict Y to be above the mean when X is above the mean. Students with above-average SAT scores should be expected to achieve above-average GPAs. But how far above the mean should we predict a student's GPA will be if he's, say, 2 standard deviations above the mean in SAT score? Well, initially, students might say that if X is at 2 standard deviations above the mean, then Y should also be at 2 standard deviations above the mean. But if you discuss it a bit, it'll be easy to convince them that a model's prediction has to depend on the strength of the association. For example, what GPA would you predict for a student whose feet were 2 standard deviations above the mean foot size? We'll venture that far out on a limb only if we have a pretty strong assurance that it's safe. In fact, only if the correlation is exactly 1. If the correlation's near 0, we stick close to the safety of the trunk, which is the mean. It turns out that the correlation is our guide. With a correlation of 1/2, we're willing to go halfway, predicting a GPA of 1 standard deviation above the mean for students who entered the college 2 standard deviations above the mean in SAT score. This is an excellent interpretation for correlation. Move 1 standard deviation in X and expect a change of R standard deviations in Y. This caution, this backing off, has a name. It's called regression to the mean. 9. Be sure students understand that the line for predicting X from Y is not the inverse of the line for predicting Y from X. It's especially tricky to note that if we regress the standardized Y on standardized X, we get a slope of R, but if we reverse the roles and regress standardized X on standardized Y, we still get R. We don't get 1 over R. Ironically, it's usually the more mathematically oriented students that have trouble with this. They want to back-solve the equation for the new slope rather than refit the line. You can have them write the equations of both lines, and they should see that the weight predicted from a height of 70 inches doesn't itself predict a height of 70 inches. This provides another opportunity to deal with the concept of regression to the mean. 10. Always keep in mind that linear models are about the real world. We'll usually fit a regression with technology, and that sometimes encourages students to report the numbers without thinking about what they mean. But a linear model should make sense. Students should have good intuition for the magnitude of the slope and should be able to think about what the model says about the world. You'll notice a number of the exercises in the chapter address this directly. As the calculations get more complex, it's important to maintain the connection to reality that is the hallmark of statistics. Thank you very much. This concludes our discussion. We hope you find it helpful.